If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now, we spent a week in vacation Bible school, and it was a shady cove, but it was dealing with finding treasure. And we went on a treasure hunt, and we looked at the treasures of God and Jesus and heaven and the Holy Spirit and the Bible and talked about all different kind of treasures. And it was interesting because when you think about it, most people enjoy a treasure hunt. A treasure hunt's just kind of fun. And I think it doesn't matter how old you are, you always like hunting for some kind of treasure. Now, to help drive this point home, probably three of the highest earning movies recently have been dealing with treasure hunts. How about the movie National Treasure? Remember the movie National Treasure? What was that, about 2004 or so? When National Treasure came out, they were going to be hunting down and looking for these rare artifacts and gold that had somehow been mysteriously hidden by our founding fathers. And so we went and watched them as they did that treasure hunt, see if they could find that gold. Well, we didn't get enough of that, so they had to come out with National Treasure 2, the secret book. And in National Treasure 2, here they began to seek after and look for the gold of the Native Americans. And the Native Americans had this golden city, and so they were seeking after that. And hey, just a few weeks ago or so, Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls. And so they're on this search, this treasure hunt, to find the Crystal Skull. Now tell me about this. Treasure hunts, they're exciting. And the thing is that when you go on a treasure hunt, your desire is to find some type of treasure. Now, usually treasure is found one of two ways. Sometimes it's found completely unexpectedly. You're just walking around and all of a sudden you find something. You weren't even looking for it, but all of a sudden you found some treasure. And for others, you'll see people that will be seeking for months, even years, looking for a specific treasure. And then they find it. Well, Jesus took this same thought and in two parables described about the kingdom of God as this amazing treasure and how people can discover it. Now, if you've got your Bibles open, Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. And he's explaining these parables to his disciples. And he says in verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he covered up, and then in his joy he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it." He says twice, the kingdom of heaven is like this buried treasure. Now, Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven. Throughout the rest of the Gospels, they'll call it the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. And what the kingdom of heaven means is the reign and the rule of God in your life. The kingdom of heaven is the reign and the rule of God in your life. And so when you look at this parable, you could say, when you say the kingdom of heaven, just say the reign and rule of your life is like treasure hidden in a field. And as he gives them this description, he then tells these two parables. And in these two parables, I'm going to tell you at the very outset of this message the three things that you need to think about what these parables teach. Are you ready? This is what it says. The kingdom of heaven and a relationship with Jesus Christ involves three things. Number one, priceless worth. The treasure of this kingdom of heaven has a priceless worth. Number two, the joy of possession. And number three, a willingness to surrender all. Those three things, just write those down, focus on those as we take a look at these two parables. Priceless worth, joy of possession, and a willingness to surrender all. Well, the first man we see is found in verse 44, and it's the surprised finder. I mean, it's a guy that wasn't even looking for it. It says that he was out working a field, and all of a sudden he found this buried treasure. And so it is as if a man was plowing a field, and in the time he's plowing it, all of a sudden his plow hits something, some object, and he begins to dig around and finds out that it's not a rock and it's not a stump, but it's a treasure chest. It could be something like this. And then he opens up this treasure chest, and there's a cascade of jewels and riches that come out. So what does he do?
He closes it back up and he buries it again. And you say, well, how many people find those kind of things in their yard? Well, amazingly, during the day that Jesus was telling this, this happened pretty often. Because, see, during Jesus' day, they didn't have banks like we had to where you would take your belongings and put them in safekeeping. And so you'd have your belongings at your house, and all of a sudden, there was word that we've got an invasion coming. We're going to have an attack. And there were battles going on all the time. Or maybe there's some natural calamity that was happening. And when that happened, and people were getting ready to attack, what do you do with your goods? You put them in a box, and you bury it. And so what they do is they would bury it in the field. And so they'd bury it, and they'd leave it there. And you know what? They might have gotten killed in the battle. Or they may have had to flee their home and never got an opportunity to come back. So somebody else got their land, but they didn't know the treasure was buried there. And then they changed hands, and someone else got it. It could be the third or fourth generation of people. And no one ever knew that treasure was there. And sure enough, some guy out there plowing, boom, bumps into it, digs it up. And you say, well, Danny, shouldn't he have called the authorities on that? Well, there's a Jewish law that says this. If a man finds scattered money, it belongs to the finder. If a man finds scattered money, it belongs to the finder. Now, if you're getting ready to walk out of church today and you find scattered money, could you just drop it in the offering plate? We'd appreciate that. Now, but see, a number of you are going to say, hey, I got it. This is good. But in the Jewish law, if you found scattered money, you got to keep it. And so when he tells this small parable, these disciples who hear this, this is nothing foreign to them. In fact, some of them may have even experienced it in their community. And what they would do is hear this short story, and they could begin to just fill in the details and say, yeah, the guy was probably about a middle-aged tenant farmer. I know the kind of guy you're talking about. I mean, he's a guy, he works during the day, and then he's got some, during the planting season, and then during the off-season, he's working some odd jobs. He's got a wife. He's got a couple of kids. They live in a small little adobe house with some little primitive furniture. And what he does is he rents this field from another man, and he plows that field and works that field for another man. He says, I can picture exactly what you're talking about. And he owns a plow. He's got a couple of oxen. He's got a shed. He's got some tools. And that's about it. And sure enough, one day while he's out there plowing this field, he hit an area he'd never been before, and all of a sudden he finds this treasure. And when he finds it, he buries it back. He runs back to his family, and he gathers the family. He says, can you keep a secret? He says, what we got to do is we got to gather everything we own and sell it so we can get enough money to buy that field. I've been renting the field. I'm going to buy the field. And so what they did, they gather everything. I mean, he sells his house. He sells the property that his house is on. He takes the furniture, he sells it. He takes his oxen, he sells them. He takes the plow, he sells it. He takes his tools, he sells them. Well, maybe not his favorite. Yeah, all of the tools. He takes his tools and he sells those. He says, what extra clothes have you got? Sell those. Then he goes to his little meager savings account and he takes that out. And he gets that in one pile. And he walks up to the landowner and he says, I want to buy this property. And he purchases it. And when he does that, he realizes that all the possessions that he just gave up are inferior to value as to what he just purchased. Because not only did he purchase this land, but he's got the treasure that goes with it. Now, what's interesting when you look at that verse and you look at these three things, priceless worth. When he looked at it, it had a priceless worth about it. But then it says he had a joy. When he discovered it, he had a joy. And when he had the joy, that then led him to willingly surrender everything he had so that he could purchase that land. And so the disciples, when they're hearing the story, I mean, they can see how this could happen. And what Jesus says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's unnoticed. And a man who's not searching for this treasure, he happens upon it and instantly recognizes its value. He sells all that he has to purchase the field. And he knows he's got something that's far more valuable than anything else that he has. It's of priceless worth. And you see, and it gives him this great joy. In fact, it says, in his joy, he sells all that he has. You see, in the Bible, some people discover the kingdom by accident. They're just going through life, and then boom, they run into the kingdom. How about John chapter 4? You know the Samaritan woman at the well? Do you think in her daytimer that morning she said, looking forward to meeting the Messiah and having my life radically changed? Not at all. It was just another day. Get up around, got to leave around noontime or so and began to make my way. None of the other ladies like me, and so I'm going out in the heat of the day to go over there and get my water at the well. I've been doing this every day, and I'm doing it again today. She walks up, and guess what happens? She has an encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. And when she has that encounter, her life changes. And she rushes back, and she talks to everybody in town and says, I met a man that knows everything about me. And all of a sudden, the town starts rushing out to meet Jesus. It was by accident that she tripped over the treasure. Or how about that Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16? You know the guy that works the night shift? I mean, he's got the night shift. He's worked the night shift for years, and he's working the night shift in the jail in Philippi. And they said, hey, we got a couple of new prisoners over here. He goes, oh, great. And he says, you know, Paul's over here, and he's just hanging out, and it's getting close to midnight, and everyone should be quiet. And all of a sudden, Paul and his buddy, they start singing. And so they're singing, and as they're singing these songs, then all of a sudden this earthquake happens. And when the earthquake happens, everything starts shaking around. It looks like the doors are open, and he thinks all the prisoners have escaped. And he's getting ready to take his own life because he says, I'm responsible for these prisoners. It was just another day. I wasn't expecting this. And then Paul says, hey, don't take your life. Don't take your life. We're still here. And then he looked at Paul, and he says, can you tell me one thing? What must I do to be saved? And he shared with him what it meant to be saved. And he said, how about my family too? So they took him home. And when they took him home, they shared the gospel with them. And they made decisions for Christ. And it says this in Acts 16:34. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. He rejoiced. There was something of priceless worth. There was an incredible joy that he had. Because he had discovered the reign and rule of God in his life. And then that willingness to surrender all. There is no sacrifice too great to live in God's word and to experience a discipleship relationship with Jesus. I mean, there's nothing that you could give that would be too much to have that type of discipleship relationship with him. You want to see a contrast? How about the rich young ruler? Remember the guy? He's a few chapters over in Mark, in Matthew. And he came to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him all these different commandments he needs to keep. He says, hey, I'm doing those things. I've been doing that since I was a little kid. I've got all that checked off. I've got the boxes checked. Anything else I need to do? He says, yeah, just one last thing. If you could take everything you own and sell it and give it to the poor, then that would do it. And it said he went away sad because he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to sacrifice at all. And so he didn't want to sacrifice at all. And so what happens is he walks away sad. Then you take a look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul writing from a jail cell. Here he is, and he's writing to the church at Philippi. Look what he says. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I count them as dung. I count them as rubbish, as just trash. All these credentials that I've got, all these awards that I've won, all these great things that have been said about me or the works that I've done when I was growing up, he says, all of that stuff is just rubbish so that I may gain Christ. He says, it's of priceless worth. I have a great joy, and there's a willingness to surrender all. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, the reign and rule of God in our lives is so important that we would be willing to sacrifice all so that we can have that relationship and that discipleship relationship with him. Well, he then tells a different story. And this is the serious seeker. I mean, this is the guy that's been looking. If you look what it says in verse 45 and 46, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, this guy is a traveling pearl dealer. He's a wholesaler, and he's looking for precious pearls. And he came across a pearl after a long search, and he said, this is the one I've been waiting on. This is the pearl. And so when he found that, he took advantage of this unique opportunity. He went quickly and immediately, he sold everything that he had, gathered up all his possessions, and he gave them all so he could have that priceless pearl. And he said, I have searched years for this, and I found the pearl. Now, see, some of us say, would you go to that extreme for a pearl? Well, in our day, if we said, what is the gem of choice? All right. When you sit there and say, I want to give someone something that really means a lot, all right? And I'll give you a hint. Like, I'm going to get engaged. You would usually give them a what? A diamond, okay? And we would say that today. You know, diamonds. Diamonds are a girl's best friend, all that kind of stuff, all right? So diamonds are what we'd want to give. Well, in that day, the pearls were like our diamonds. The pearls were our diamonds. And if you had a pearl, whew, you had a fortune. I mean, you had a pearl. You were really there. You say, what was so good about pearls? The reason pearls were so important is because they were so hard to get. And you see, pearl hunting involved immense danger. You know, pearls come from a pearl oyster. And how you get the oyster during that day is most of the oysters found themselves about 40 feet down in the ocean. And so what you had to do is you had to dive down 40 feet to go look for them and then come back. I read a little information on an ancient pearl diver. Are you ready? Now, this is some great equipment they had. If you want to be a pearl diver during biblical times, all you need, three things. Number one, a boat. Number two, a rope. Number three, big rock. Now, follow the story. They tie a rope with a big rock, and they jump in the water. And that big rock drives them to the bottom. And while they're down there, they've got to scurry through all the muck and the mud to find oysters and then come up. Now, it's interesting when I read that, I never found out how they get back up, okay? I don't know if you got a bunch of strong men to pull them up, or do you just bring a lot of rocks and leave that rock down there and go get you another one on the boat. But they come and they bring them up. And then when they bring them up, the odds are 1 out of 1,000 it'll have a pearl in it. 1 out of 1,000 that there'll be a pearl in there. So if you get a pearl, whew, that's something. Because the guy that dove in there not only had to fight off sharks and every other sea creature, he got to hold his breath for a mighty long time to find as many as he can to come back up and hope he can find a pearl. And so when someone could find a pearl, it was great. But if you could find the great pearl, I'm talking about the treasure chest of pearls, that's what you want. And that's what happened with this man. That's what he found. And you see, when he found that pearl, he said, it's worth it to sell it all so I can have that. Now, it's interesting. The contrast of the first parable and the second one is that the first guy just kind of stumbled across a hidden treasure. And the second one had a diligent search by one who was well qualified, ultimately, to learn about the great pearls. But both of them found the treasure, and both of them responded with joy, and both of them were willing to sacrifice everything in order to have it. You see, many people search for that highest goal in life. They search for meaning. They search for purpose. They search for reality. I've known people that have searched. They've tried every religion. They've tried everything this world has to offer. They have read every book they can think of. They've heard every speaker and every tape. And they just haven't quite found it. And then all of a sudden, in their search, they come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and his claims, and they make that decision. Some of the great apologists that we have, you know, the Josh McDowells and people like that, came from those kind of backgrounds, seeking backgrounds. And then once they found it, they were willing to give whatever it took to keep that relationship with him. Now, let me hit those three again. Priceless worth. The reign and rule of Christ in our lives, to have a relationship with him, has a priceless worth. You know, for this guy, there were other pearls that were on the market, but nah, they didn't match up to the priceless pearl. In both of these parables, these men knew they had made a special discovery. And you know, when you discover the reign and rule of Christ, you got a pretty special discovery. What you've discovered is Jesus Christ. You have discovered a forgiveness of your sins. You've discovered what it means to be daily led by Jesus. You discover what it means to live with a purpose. And that's an incalculable value. You can't put a value on that.
Salvation and righteousness of the kingdom is a greater treasure than all that the world can offer. It doesn't matter how much money you make, doesn't matter how many houses you have or boats that you have or anything else. All those goods and all those titles and all those jobs and all those accolades, they pale in comparison to what it means to have a salvation experience with Jesus Christ and to have a daily relationship with Him. And to know that you serve a God that will take whatever your life is, and no matter how much of a mess it is, and can turn it around and straighten it out again. That can take a marriage that no matter how difficult it may be and how much struggle there may be, that God can come in and intervene and take that marriage and strengthen it again. And that God can take whatever situation it is, whatever personality conflicts, and that He can come in and He can change that and bring those parties together. I mean, it's amazing. You can't put a dollar value on that. And you see, Jesus is saying these people found that treasure. When they found it, it gave them great joy. And they were willing to sacrifice whatever to make it a reality. The joy of possession, boy, finding the peace of God, getting my deep longing satisfied, having my deepest hurts bandaged, and have a future and a hope unlike any other, that's just amazing. That willingness to surrender all. What we need to just to make certain is it doesn't cost us anything to gain salvation. Christ has paid it all. And when He went on the cross and died for us, and God provided that, and so it is by grace that we are saved, so you don't pay anything. It's very costly. Jesus has already paid it. But what He does ask is that you would be willing to surrender your life, yourself, your sin, your whole life. And when we surrender our whole life, then we receive that gift. We receive that treasure. I read something from a writer I never really thought much about before. You know, usually when people say, and I know I'll continue to say this, I've just been bred with this, is that when you come to Christ, they say, what do you give up? And I say, well, I got to give up so much in order to come to Christ. You know, I got to give up this, got to give up that, got to give up this. I like the way this author said. He says, you're not giving up anything. You're exchanging. When you go to the parable, what did he do? He took everything that he had and he exchanged it for that treasure. He exchanged it for the pearl of great price. So what we do is that you take all your sins and you exchange it for His salvation. You take your time and you exchange it for His eternity. You take your bondage and exchange it for His freedom. You take your bitterness and you exchange it for His love. You take your anger and you exchange it for His peace. It's a wonderful exchange that goes on. And see, the kingdom of God is accepting and doing the will of God, and it is worth anything to do God's will. Nothing compares with the joy, the fulfillment, the significance of serving Christ. And we must be willing to surrender whatever it is that we have that has worth to us so that we can be part of God's kingdom. And to realize there's nothing more valuable than that possession of the reign and rule of God in our lives. And that's what these two men found in here. So in a word, I would challenge us as a congregation to do what Jesus said, and that is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And he says, if you want to experience the reign and rule of God in your life, go and take up your cross, be willing to sacrifice. Deny yourself, all right? And then I want you, he says, just follow me. And you follow me, and you will be able to experience this incredible treasure that he has. The first step is finding that pearl. If you go back to that one, the first step is I got to find the pearl. That's your gospel. You find the pearl, then you give your life to it. And when you open up your life and you give it to it and you say, you know, Lord, I want to be all of yours. I want to surrender everything that I have. And it may mean that I may have to abandon some habits along the way, that some things that are hard to lay down. But you know what, Lord? I'm willing to do it. It may mean that I give up certain aims and ambitions that are very dear to me, but I'm willing to do that. It means I take on discipline and self-denial, which aren't always easy, but Lord, I'm willing to do that. And when you do that, you will experience what these two men experienced, the incredible joy of finding the treasure of the reign and rule of Jesus Christ in your life.
It is my prayer that we today will find that treasure. Some of you have been seeking for a long time, and you walked in this place today, and today is when you came face to face with it, and you're ready to take that treasure. Some of you may have just kind of stumbled, bumbled your way in here. You know, we've had people that are just driving up the hill at times and said, hey, there's a church. Let's just drop in over there. And you just dropped in, and as you dropped in, God had a word for you today. And it may be that, you know what? I need to totally surrender myself to him and claim that incredible treasure. All right? Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Father, we are so thankful for the clarity of your word, and we're thankful for the amazing treasure that you have given us, and that treasure of the reign and rule of God in our lives. And so, Father, it's our prayer that during this time of invitation, that you speak to the hearts of our people, and to those that need to make that response, that they would be obedient to you, Lord, and stand up and step out and make that commitment. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.